Dr. Morrow commented on the split across the Atlantic in terms of use of neoadjuvant systemic therapy, and I met with Dr. Ian Smith, who's been a leader in the use of neoadjuvant endocrine therapy in European trials. Dr. Smith summarized what he sees as the major issues to date with this intervention.
Nearly all the work with neoadjuvant endocrine therapy has been done in postmenopausal women, and there are one or two things you can say with fair degree of certainty. There have been three large trials, comparing aromatase inhibitors with tamoxifen, one with letrozole, two with anastrozole. And they, by and large, show that the aromatase inhibitors are more effective, both in terms of getting tumor regression and, more important, really, in terms of reducing the need for mastectomy. So I think the main clinical indication for neoadjuvant endocrine therapy in postmenopausal women who's ER-positive cancer is if you've got a large cancer and you want to downstage to avoid mastectomy, which the woman might wish to do for cosmetic reasons or because they're elderly or whatever.
What about the choice between chemotherapy and endocrine therapy in that situation?
Well, that's the real crunch. The more I use neoadjuvant endocrine therapy, the more I wonder why we don't use it more. When it works, it's extremely good. It's just a little anecdote of a lady about 60 who's referred with a 5-centimeter cancer for neoadjuvant chemotherapy. And it's ER positive, and she really, really does not want to have chemotherapy.
And she wants to have a lumpectomy?
Well, yeah, I mean, she's like to avoid mastectomy as well if she can, but the main thing, she doesn't. So we treat her with letrozole, which would not have been my initial choice. With a large cancer like that, I would have thought, you know, chemotherapy would be better.
How old was she?
She was 59. And she had a complete remission on her letrozole.
What happened at surgery?
At surgery, she had conservative surgery, and there was only a small residual tumor of about 1 centimeter left. The problem we've got in that lady is, does she therefore not need chemotherapy? And it's a very interesting question, because up until recently, there have not been any data. We're beginning to look at our results in the IMPACT trial. That was a trial comparing Arimidex with tamoxifen with Matt Ellis, who's doing the same in the P24 trial, which was with letrozole versus tamoxifen. And we're beginning to put together a kind of algorithm which suggests that if you have a very good tumor response so that the final tumor at surgery measures 1 centimeter or less, and if you have good suppression of Ki67, proliferative marker Ki67, and if your ER is still positive, which it usually is, but not always, sometimes it can revert, then these patients have an extremely good long-term outlook. These are data that are not yet published, although they've been presented, and we're going to be publishing them soon.
What about the axillary node status specifically, and then the issue of when it's determined, pre or post-treatment?
Well, the question is, are you going to do sentinel nodes? And if you are, when are you going to do them? There are data to suggest that there may be a degree of downstaging of the axillary nodes, and therefore the purists would say that you should do the sentinel node before surgery. By and large, we do this, and it's actually a very easy procedure. It doesn't hold things up. So if you're wanting to be very precise and specific, I think there is an argument for doing sentinel node before you start your new adjuvant treatment.
And is that part of this factoring in this question of whether they're going to need chemo later on?
Yeah, I think that what I'm talking about are patients whose nodes are negative.
Right.